a thought is just a thought, and a thought can be changed. So I look at it as a smile is oftentimes the result of a good thought. And so what can I do to get myself into a place where I'm going to have good thoughts? And if I'm not having good thoughts, maybe I could go backwards and smile so that my good thoughts will then follow the smile. If you just bring that smile with you, the power that it could have is limitless.
Welcome to Salish Wolf, a podcast bringing you inspirational stories of extraordinary endeavors. I am your host, Todd Howard. Just south of my Vancouver Island home is a tiny archipelago on which for nearly a decade lived a most astonishing animal, a lone wolf. Takea, as he would be named, survived and thrived in an environment where likely no wolf had ever set foot. In the process, he captured the hearts of a community and showed us even the most unlikely is possible. His story is not dissimilar to those of the individuals interviewed on this podcast. At some point, they each had to turn to their inner lone wolf. From there, they were able to lead and inspire. My intention is to share their journeys to help you discover your own inner greatness and peace. This podcast is brought to you by Anchor Point Expeditions, where I provide life-changing personal leadership retreats for men, coaching, and other valuable personal growth resources. Visit anchorpointexpeditions.com to see where your journey could take you. Jake Russo's is on a mission to help people live their best lives by living his best. Early on, he found a powerful tool that was available to him wherever he went and in any interaction, his smile. Since then, he has been positively impacting others through the simple gesture of a genuine smile. Jake's professional focus is on empowering children to be leaders of their own happy, resilient, and authentic lives. He helps them to live from the inside out, finding fulfillment from within instead of seeking externally. From the very beginning, Jake lights up this interview, with a smile of course, sharing his rich perspectives on things such as the importance of play, growth through adversity, facing fears, and surrendering. His ultimate playground is in the water, which has been a core component of his life journey. Whether surfing, swimming, paddleboarding, or playing on the beach, Jake taps into the life force of water to enrich his life. He not only coaches children, but also men, and has been leading men's retreat to help men return to play and find healing through it. Jake is one of the guides of the Balanced Man Retreats that are based in Nosara, Costa Rica. With its manifesto of freedom through discipline, the Balanced Man Retreats offer a combination of physical and emotional experiences to help men break through into their best lives. Jake is living proof. Please enjoy this episode of Salish Wolf with Jake Russo's.
Yo.
What up, dude?
What is up, man? You look so legit right now.
We did it. Doyle, thank you, man. Thank you. I would say the same to you, but I can't see you.
Really? Yep. There we go.
I got a big red J. What's the big red J stand for?
Jehuda.
How's it going, man?
Good, bro.
I remember first meeting you at the farmer's market in Nosara. And you had that big grin on your face that you're so known for, man. You must be the most enthusiastic person for life that I know. Like, how do you come by that? Is that just easy for you?
that's funny. You know, someone told me early on in my professional career, one of my mentors just came up to me and he said, you know, whatever you do, wherever you go, just keep smiling. And up until that point, I don't think I really had a ton of awareness around the fact that I'm a smiley person. My baseline is joy, which is awesome. Super grateful that that's the case. And yeah, man, I think, you know, I get it a lot from my dad. Like, I love to enjoy life. I love to have fun and I love to smile and I love the power of a smile and what it can do. And so I've been smiling my whole life. I think the last 8 years or so, there's been more awareness of the impact of the smile, of my smile. And, you know, also just even right now, like I feel joy and as I'm smiling, the positive feeling that I get to experience within me as a result of the smile, or vice versa, whichever, you know, is it the chicken or the egg here. So yeah, man, it's like, it's one of the simplest things that I think I can do as a human being to lift up my spirits and the spirits of others around me.
That's awesome. And you probably find doors open left and right for you because of it, don't you?
I think it has been helpful. I've always found myself in a position of being in front of people, you know, specifically professionally. All of my professional work has been built around relationship building. And I think I'm much more approachable with a smile than with not a smile. And so, you know, there's part of it too that has now maybe been trained as like, oh, okay, you know, approach someone and bring a smile with you. And I guess that's more of like the conscious awareness of, and it goes back to this guy, Ron, who came up to me and he was just like smiley. You know, this guy's was like a seasoned veteran in the industry I was working in, and was like, dude, I've been around so many people and, you know, everyone comes with all this stuff, but he's like, if you just bring that smile with you, the power that it could have in a room of other people is like limitless.
Do you ever then fake it until it's real?
Dude, that's a big one, man. Especially when I was a kid, all the time. Like I would always, you know, I really struggled with not smiling. I would say specifically in the last couple of years and some of the work that I've been doing on myself and, you know, getting into men's work, really learning how to honor all of my emotions. And on days when I don't want to smile, then, you know, or if I'm feeling shitty or crappy, whatever, honoring that and respecting that and allowing myself to not be, you know, smiley, joyful Jake. It throws people off for sure. They're like, yo, what's wrong with Jake? And I just have to remind myself and them I'm a human being, right? And
yeah.
There's good and there's bad. And so, you know, and sometimes, you know, I do throw it on, right? For better or for worse, right? If I'm feeling in a funk and I'm like, I really want to get out of this, right? Like maybe that smile can, you know, create something in someone that I'm interacting with or even within myself and kind of kickstart things.
It's amazing how even just forcing it or faking it can lift someone up and lift the smiler up, not just other people, but like I throw a smile on my face sometimes when I'm in a rotten mood and I'll just do it because I'm like, all right, let's see if this works. And I'll put a smile on and there is a noticeable difference. I might not be able to keep it and like snap out of the funk, but as long as I have that smile on, there's a shift. Definitely.
Yeah, man. 100%. You know, the work that I get to do with kids, supporting them as a life coach and teaching tools, one of the biggest reminders that I get constantly is that a thought is just a thought and a thought can be changed. So I look at it as a smile is oftentimes the result of a good thought. And so what can I do to get myself into a place where I'm going to have good thoughts? And if I'm not having good thoughts, maybe I could go backwards and smile so that my good thoughts will then follow the smile.
Mm-hmm. And I like too that you said you used to force it all the time. You had issues not having a smile, but now you respect your humanness. You have good days and bad days. How important is it to you to be able to just be with those emotions when the smile's not there?
Man, super important. Actually, last week I experienced a ton of big emotions and I let myself sit in the shit is what I like to say. I just sat in it and I sat with the uncomfortable feelings. I think I know by now from experience that it's usually through those uncomfortable feelings that something is trying to present itself in my life. I look at life like when I'm smiling, things are going good, right? Which is awesome. And to just, again, take the time and the space. It comes down to me to loving kindness and self-compassion. Am I willing to love all parts of myself and to not neglect any of them? And also understand that my strength is smiling, is joy, or one of my strengths is smiling, is joy. And so knowing that, right, it's like, okay, where is this middle ground? And in that middle ground is stillness, I would say. You know, if I'm last week as the example, experiencing big emotions, feeling, you know, grief, abandonment, not really being able to identify what was going on, and allowing myself to just be still and honor, feel, allow the emotions to express themselves, talk to people, right? Reach out for support, for help. And so, yeah.
Is there a big pendulum sometimes?
100%. I would say right now, you know, like if you asked me 10 years ago, what would be the thing that I desired most in life, I would be like adventure, you know, crazy experiences. And today what I desire most is peace, and peace falls in the middle, right? It's all different cultures, religions, backgrounds talk about this idea of a middle way and walking a middle path. And I'm learning to incorporate that into my own life, right? Like even when things are going super, super good, don't let myself climb up the ladder all the way high, right? Like, can I stay in my center and still feel the positive? And the same is true if it goes the other way, because I observe in myself, if I come all the way up here on the high, then I'm going to drop down to the low. But if I can manage better both extremes, I feel more centered, more grounded. And that feeling of peace is my favorite vibration to experience.
Mm. You mentioned the middle way, and that's also a concept in Chinese Taoist culture and in Chinese medicine. There's, as odd as it sounds, there is an imbalance called extreme joy, which is related to fire in the heart. We feel joy through our heart. So when we get excitement, we get palpitations, just our heart speeds up. And as we experience great joy, but there is the potential of being in this kind of extreme joy, which then has, when there's great fire, there's going to be a great kind of come down from it as well. And that's that big pendulum swing. I think it's the only emotion in Chinese medicine that we talk about that as being somewhat pathological, that is often an emotion that people, you know, strive to achieve, is that extreme joy. But everything in balance, because you, with the yin and the yang, you can't just live in a place of extreme joy all the time. It's a nice goal, but as you're saying, like if you don't take the time to experience the other end of the pendulum, you're going to have imbalance, and then you're not going to have that middle ground, which is the peace.
Yep. Yep.
What's the work like that you do with kids? You last year ended up working at my kid's school in Nosara, and I am so grateful for that. My son Ollie at some point came home, was like, Jake's the best teacher ever. What were you doing there with the kids, and what do you do in general in your work with kids?
So my background working with kids is, I've 15 years experience working with children. Started off as a water safety instructor, teaching kids how to swim from, you know, little babies all the way to big babies up in their 50s, 60s, right? But last year I had an opportunity to go work at Nosara Playhouse. I had about a year and a half ago started studying under a mentor who's a clinical child psychologist, and she created a program that teaches a play-based approach to supporting children, to giving children tools for life, for resilience, to allow them to be authentic, to help them make better decisions for themselves. And it was such an easy yes for me to walk that path with her, because through my own personal development journey, you know, I really started myself studying a lot of self-help and personal development around 25. And the first thought I had was, where was this in elementary school? where were these tools when I was a kid, right? Because I experienced a lot of anxiety, a lot of like that pursuit of joy, of like looking for the next dopamine hit, right? Something to take me to that elevated level so I could feel that buzz for a little bit until I would come down and then search for it again. And so I had a chance to go through this program, and through this program, the thing that I connected with most was this idea of social emotional learning for children. And so last year at the Playhouse, I was given an opportunity to come in and create my own curriculum around social emotional education for children. And it was just the most amazing experience presenting concepts to children, talking about how do our mind and bodies work, right? What are the things we can do to release and access the happy chemicals in our body, right? Because we have four of them: serotonin, endorphins, oxytocin, and dopamine. And they're available to most of us. Some people don't have the same availability, but most of us can access these happy chemicals relatively easily, especially in a world where there's so much adrenaline and cortisol being pumped out through environmental stimulus. So just as an example, one of the things that we would do is learn stuff like this, and we would play, and you know, I would have a chance to debrief with the kids. Hey, what'd you guys learn today through this play? And things would come up like, oh, you know, I can't give up the first time I try something. Great. Why is that important for you in your life? Well, I'm going to be challenged, right? These kids just reaching their own conclusions. And so today, where the position I'm sitting in is a position I feel so grateful to be in getting to support children as a kid's life coach and really empowering them to be the leader of their own life and what that means to them. What does it mean for them to fully express themselves, to be themselves, to be authentic, to learn tools, to have a kit that they can take around with them that makes them resilient? Because the truth is, as you know, as I'm sure the people listening know, life is going to be challenging. We are going to get slapped in the face. And that is also true for kids. And one of the, you know, I think best intention things that parents do, but also possibly one of the most harmful things that parents do, is try and protect children from their own challenges and try and solve problems for their children. And the truth is the earlier that we can equip children with the tools for them to bounce back and to learn what makes them feel good, what makes their heart sing, what gets them out of bed with all this excitement and joy, what are their strengths and talents, and how are they going to use them to be of service? If we can equip kids with that now, what happens when they're adults, right? When they now don't need to go and look outside to fill themselves up like I did, but they can go within themselves and be like, yo, I have everything right here. You know, what am I going to do today? How am I going to use this awesome life force energy that I have to create, to be of service, to love? So yeah, that's a little bit about what I'm doing today.
It's so important. And again, I'm so grateful that my kids got to experience that. I know Ollie went through a patch last year where something was going on emotionally in him, and he was struggling to even go to school, a place that he absolutely loves. And I know there were days he just went and he sat in your room, or he was just in your presence. And that was really important for us to know that he had that safe space and he had someone there to mentor him. And I think it's absolutely crazy that this isn't something that is in every educational setting. Instead, we're focused on, you know, teaching toddlers about they can be any gender they want or how to have sex. And it's like, what the hell is going on? When there's people like you who can come in and can teach them how to feel their emotions and how to work with those and experience their lows and their highs and be able to find that middle ground. And it's just so important, and there's just gaping hole in traditional education for something like that. I think it's so awesome that you're doing it, and it's so important. Now, you're not the other thing that I've experienced with you is you do this amazing work, and it's not just for kids. Like, you lead retreats for the big kids, the adults, on basically returning to play, right?
Because I mean, you just nailed it, right? The big kids, right? We within each of us, we still have that child. And part of how I ended up here in Costa Rica is I had lost touch with my inner child, with the playful parts of me that like to be silly and imaginative and creative. And I had adopted a very analytical and linear mindset and path for myself. And getting to come to a place like Costa Rica, where literally the environment is a playground, as you know.
Hey, it's amazing.
It's absolutely amazing. And it just brought me back to like, oh my goodness, where did play, like, where has play been the last 6, 7 years of my
Yeah.
life?
And I,
Because also,
so if I can interject for a second, like that playground, that environment of a playground, it's such a game changer. Like when I got there, I couldn't continue on doing the things I was doing. It was like, whoa, I have to settle into this and experience it. And then I find that that's when I really started to come online with my true passions, because we're immersed in this environment of play, and it just seems to shake things up and bring out purpose. And it's amazing. But sorry, go on.
no, I mean, you just touched on something. You know, if we're trying to learn something or create a new pattern in our life, we can do it repetitively, or we could find a way to integrate and incorporate play. And if we do it through play, science tells us that we're going to learn it faster. We're going to become that thing that we desire faster, because we are in the spirit of it, right? It's like this, you know, there's a short passage that I like, called Entering into the Spirit of It. And he talks about returning to the state of childlike joy, the childlike bliss, where, you know, every moment is amazing. Can I experience magic in the ordinary? Can washing dishes become a game, right? Can taking out the trash become a game? Can I gamify life? And I think for myself, by the time I was 15, 16, most games or most play became associated with drinking. And I think in American culture and in Western culture, that is so predominant of, hey, let's play drinking games. And I know a lot of specifically young men who aren't in touch with themselves and what makes their heart happy. Alcohol then becomes their best friend, just like it became my best friend, because I felt like I was playing in those situations. But the truth is, I was drowning and numbing what was really inside of me, until I reached a certain point where I couldn't take it anymore. And I was like, okay, I need a change. And so getting a chance to come here to Costa Rica and play and just experience that side of me again, which I had felt like I'd lost touch with, it was like a no-brainer. Like, hey, I gotta bring other dudes down and give them this experience. I love sharing experiences with people. I love watching what gets to happen to someone when they experience something new. And for many men, being in a space, first of all, that's safe, where they're taken care of, where they get to play, where they're going to be challenged and nurtured, they've never experienced that before. That has never happened in their entire life. And so to get to, even if it's 1 week, to get to give them 1 week of, you know what? Hey, this week I got you. And I just want you to be, I want you to play, you know, put the work away, put the phone away. Let's be here and let's have fun. And witnessing what happens with that is our inner child comes back, right? It's still in there, right? We haven't lost it. We've just gotten out of touch with that part of ourselves. And so it's funny, because the work that I do with kids and the work that I do with men is essentially the same thing. I just use different words for the kids and for the adults. But we're talking the same thing, right? It's returning to self, coming back into our heart space, remembering that everything we have is within us, and living by that truth, so that I don't need to go around searching. You know, I was just listening to Jay Shetty interview someone this morning. And the guy he's interviewing is talking about how he constantly was going to achieve new goals. And he was a super successful singer-songwriter. And every time he would get the next thing, you know, he would still feel empty, because we know, for those of us who have experienced it, that nothing on the outside is going to make us feel whole on the inside. We have to do that for ourselves. And until we take the time to do that, it's not going to present itself. And so fuck it. Let's play. Like, let's have some fun. Let's stop taking everything so seriously. And let's be kids again. And let's see what happens.
You said the work that you do with men is, and what you teach them is not really any different from what you teach kids, just different language. But I mean, that is in essence kind of the core of one of the core principles of men's work. It's because we're never taught these things as men, or very rarely, unless we've had really good mentors in our life. So the stuff that you're teaching my kids in school is the stuff that most adult men have never actually learned. Very few of us have had the opportunity to learn how to sit with our emotions and how to feel those and how to move through those without it turning into suppression or potentially rage and violence. Like there's the middle way, and most people don't experience that.
Yeah.
With the play, I'm sure a lot of people listening are going to have pushback. Well, yeah, that sounds great for a vacation, but how is that realistic for life? And another thing that came up to me while you're talking, you said the word gamify, which immediately made me think of video games. So I want to make a distinction, or hopefully you can make a distinction, between this sort of play, which I see more as like authentic, life-giving play, versus the I need a distraction and I'm going to basically use tools such as games or drugs or alcohol to distract me.
So the first thing that I tell all adults is, you know, especially if they have children, I just say, watch your children, right? Watch a kid cross the street. You know, if there's like a crosswalk with yellow stripes, right? Maybe they'll start jumping or hopping from one yellow to the next yellow. And you know, there's hot lava in the middle, right? Oh my goodness, there's an opportunity to have fun. Hey, we've got a bunch of trash. You know, maybe we're playing some basketball and we're shooting into the into the can. And I get it, right? Life happens. We have responsibilities, right? We're taking care of families and communities, and there's things that need to get done. But if we allow these opportunities to just slow down, you know, one of the wisest people that I know, he's like, the best stuff in life is free. We just don't see it because we don't see the value in it. But, you know, to allow our imagination to create a game in any environment is free. And if we've lost touch with that, then watch a kid, because a kid knows how to do that instinctually. And then we learn from them, right? We learn, oh, thank you, right? Thank you, son, for reminding me that I can get back into play, right? And your son is a great example of this. There are times throughout the school year last year where, you know, I found myself getting more into a state of lecturing or speaking to and being reminded by the kids, specifically Ollie, that like, hey, we want to play. Great. You know, let's talk about this together, right? Here's an idea. How can we make a game around it? And then the kids being like, oh, we can do this and that, right? There's always an opportunity. And so it comes back to, can I just slow down? Can I take a breath, right? If I'm feeling like enraged or frustrated or depressed, right? Whatever spectrum or side of the spectrum, can I come back to the present moment? Can I allow myself to find a way to create play? And if I can't, are there children nearby that I'm welcome to go play with or I can learn from? Kids are a good starting point, you know, maybe nieces, nephews, right? I definitely wouldn't suggest going up to kids you don't know.
With a creepy smile. What happens to imagination, do you think?
Imagination is lost. This is my perspective, because the systems around us are linear and mechanical, and imagination is abstract, and imagination is of spirit. And we lose sense of that because it is not validated in the world around us. What is validated are the mechanisms, the systems, right? The logic, the reason. Okay. And we lose touch of the parts of us that are imaginative, that are intuitive, right? we just let those go because they're not appreciated by the, specifically when you're a kid, they're not appreciated by most adults around you because they're not producing results. Because, you know, imagination, creating imaginative games, where's the revenue that's going to come from that, Todd? Right? How are we going to make money here? The world around us is so driven by reason and logic and mechanism that we've lost sense with the intuition, the imagination, the spirit of play and creation, right? Like, if we, for example, what I observe is we see these systems around us and we try and mold ourselves and allowing our spirits to create any system, right? But if we look at a mechanism, if we look at a system, right, we can call it a company, right? If we're looking at a company and we're saying, okay, well, this is the structure of the company and this is what I can do, right? Maybe that role is in alignment, right? Like, I was a sales representative for a medical device company. And for a short time, there was alignment between my spirit and the system that I fit in. But eventually, I started to build awareness that no, my spirit isn't free to thrive in this system. And so if I continue to stay in this system, my spirit is going to be crushed. My imagination is going to be crushed. My creativity is going to be crushed. My authenticity is going to be crushed. I'm going to lose myself. I had to remove myself from that to see what is possible, right? The reason I didn't start working with kids earlier is because I had a belief that it was, you know, men don't work with kids. You can't earn a good living working with kids, right? There were all these limited beliefs that I had around that, even though I knew that I was happiest working with kids, right?
You mentioned the word authenticity. Is there that potential that play is not within someone's authentic realm?
I mean, I believe that play is the language of childhood, and you know, there are an array of what are called, you know, ACE, adverse childhood events, right?
Yeah.
There can be an array of adverse childhood events that strip a child of their childhood and of that sense of play. I believe, though, within the core of all of us, play is part of our DNA. It's part of the code.
Mm-hmm. And then what, if any, is the distinction between authentic life-giving play versus distractions by using, again, games or substances?
That's a really good question. And I would say there's this idea of being embodied. Okay. And if you are embodied in authentic life-giving play, you can feel the life force. You can feel the energy within you, around you. And it's something that each individual needs to experience on their own. When you're using, or when I was using, substance as a form of play, or whatever, video games, right? Something externally. My connectedness to how I was feeling, specifically my heart, was limited. It was cut off, right? I can say that now because of the experience that I've had. And so for people who might be listening and being like, yeah, you know what? All the play that I do is drinking related or video game related. My recommendation would be to go and spend some time in nature and leave all of your technology behind and go be in nature.
Yeah.
And go, whatever that means for you.
Yeah. And I don't want to vilify anything in moderation. And I think as an adult, I don't play video games at all, but I could probably have fun and return to some childlike wonder by sitting down in front of a video game. So there's definitely got to be, you know, that recognition that any of those things, even drinking done with the right intention and the right setting with your friends as kind of a one-off thing, I can see that being healthy play. There are just times when it gets unhealthy, when it becomes obviously a crutch that someone is well, quite frankly, becoming addicted to. And that happens with video games too, and as well as many other things.
I mean, that's the middle way, right? Mm-hmm. That's the part of us that learns how to find balance, right? Find balance within us so that, because all you're right, man, if you like to play video games, video games isn't my thing personally, but if that's your thing, right? Or going out with your buddies and having some beers is your thing, great. Do that, right? Do the things that you love to do. I think it's the awareness around, this is what I always tell kids, right? There's never a right or wrong, right? Especially when it comes to your own life and making decisions. It's up to you. What we each should be empowered to do is find what makes us feel best, what makes us feel like our most loved, authentic selves.
Mm-hmm.
Do those things, right? Without giving a shit what other people think.
Mm. There's a commencement address from like 10 years ago with Jim Carrey, and he talks about his superpower is getting people to present to him their best version of themselves. By him being his most authentic, playful self, he gets to draw that out of people. And so he gets to meet people in their most beautiful, and he's able to do that because he's in his most beautiful zone, his authentic, playful state.
Wow. I love Jim Carrey.
He's amazing. He's amazing. Tell me about Ripple. What is it?
Man, Ripple is an idea. And the idea behind Ripple all started back when I was working with a nonprofit in Santa Monica, California, doing swim lessons with special needs kids. And the woman that I was working for, and I still continue to work with, shared with me that the work that we were doing, that we do, creates a ripple. There's a ripple because people see what we're doing with, you know, children with autism, with Down syndrome, with array of physical, emotional, mental disabilities, and putting them on a team where most people thought that was not possible. And so the idea behind Ripple is that when we consciously choose to do things that benefit our highest self, we can create a ripple in the world around us, right? We can create a wave. There are studies that show that when two people have a positive interaction, the energy from that carries with each of them to their following interactions that day, right? So we have a chance to spread love, to spread joy, to spread authenticity, right? Like Jim Carrey, to bring out, he is creating a ripple by himself, allowing himself to be authentic. He's giving others permission to do the same, right? When I smile, I'm giving other people permission to smile too, right? And so it's this idea, like, what do I need so that I can be my best self? And so that's the idea behind Ripple. How it showed up is a group of men coming together, and I got to present them with some of the things that make me stoked, some of the things that I love to do, some of the most simple tools that have supported me in my journey, and just give them a chance to say, oh, wow, you know, I like breath work. I like yoga. I like surfing. You know, maybe I can get myself a massage once a month because I work really hard and I find that a massage makes my body feel more relaxed, right? Whatever it is, man, like, what are the small things that we can do for ourselves, especially as men, right? Because what I've seen is a lot of men who don't have the ability, and I include myself in this, right? I'm an experiment here. I'm learning as I go, but have the ability to handle big emotions, right? And what happens as a result of that is anger, violence, et cetera. You kind of touched on this earlier. And so as men, if we learn how to do the things that make us feel good, we create more space within ourselves. And when we create more space within ourselves, we have more space for others. And that is the job of the masculine from my perspective, to be space, to hold space. That's it. And so that's Ripple. It's still going, right? We're still creating waves. We are reaching out to men, man, men who want to make a change in their life, men who want something better for themselves, the same way that I wanted for myself and the same way that you wanted for yourself. And I'm so grateful because I had someone who supported me along the whole way. And I had a coach and she taught me so much and she held space for me. Right. And through that, I was like, okay, this is other dudes need this. Right. And a lot of dudes aren't going to be quick to pick up and say, oh, you know, I want to talk to someone. But if they're held in a space with other men, that's a different story. Right. If I'm around a group of my brothers and I know that they're listening with non-judgment, you know, with open eyes, ears, and an open heart, then I feel seen and heard, right? The two things that human beings need are the ability to express themselves authentically. This is outside of our food, water, you know, this is from an emotional standpoint. We need the ability to express ourselves authentically, and we need to be connected to other beings. Mm-hmm. So if I can circle where I'm connected to a group of other guys and express myself as my most authentic self, wow.
Yeah. And that's the magic of men's retreats, to be able to be in that space.
Yeah.
And then, for a lot of men, never having been in that space.
Exactly. And then now I've experienced it. So now when I go home and my wife says something or my kid says something or my boss says something that in the past would have poked something in me that erupted a fire of destruction, now I'm like, oh, wait, hold on. I've got this space, right?
Yeah.
Maybe I can recognize in that moment that that person needs something. And I can give that something because I've created this space.
Yeah. I like to visualize my body covered at one point in buttons that anyone could come in and press my button. And yes. I find that through personal work, like my goal is to diminish the amount of buttons that are on my surface so that eventually it's very hard for someone to come in and press my button because I've done the work on that. I've taken away that trigger. And anytime someone does, I try to find time to be grateful for it because maybe I didn't know it was there. And it's like, oh, shit, there's that one stuck on my back. I had no idea it was there. I got to do some processing. I've got to work through that. So thank you very much for coming and pressing my button. And fortunately, it seems that no one presses buttons better than intimate family. So with kids and parents and partners, it's like, hey, we got endless opportunities for that.
Yes, sir.
What are your most favorite types of play for you? Like, what do you love?
Water, man. I'm a water baby. Throw me in the water. I can surf, swim, stand up paddleboard, body surf, you know, even being on the beach and kicking a soccer ball around. Like, having the water nearby creates for me just endless opportunities for play. And you know, I've grown up on the beach. I think the longest I've ever been away from a beach is about 7 weeks. And I started to have like a big, I had to take some big deep breaths. Like, okay, I got to get myself back to the water. But this is now one of the things that I know about myself, right? I need water. It's one of the things I can't compromise on in my life because it allows me to access this version of myself that feels most authentic. That feels like the best version of Jake. So play through water, man. Number 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 for me.
Yeah. And I think people can relate with a lot of those, the surfing, the body surfing, like the fun things. You really love open water swimming too, which for some people is like, it's a phobia. Being out there in the middle of the ocean surrounded by who knows what with big waves and currents. Walk us through that. How is that a different experience for you?
Well, first of all, it's something that I'm scared of too, right? There's nothing that I love and fear more than the ocean. And so when I go out and do open ocean swimming, first of all, you know, from a background perspective, I've been trained for over 15 years on how to navigate open waters. You know, I was trained in the Pacific Ocean, which is not very Pacific or pacifying.
Yeah.
Aggressive. But, you know, I think one of the things that I love the most about it is it gives me an opportunity to remember that how small I am in the grand scheme of everything. Being out in the open ocean where there are so many unknowns, it's such a good practice for life, right? In life, there are so many unknowns. My ego, my mind likes to tell me that it has everything under control and there's a plan and we're set and blah, blah, blah. Right. But the truth is I don't know what's going to happen. Right. I don't know what's going to happen today. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I can hope and I can plan and prepare myself to the best of my ability. And when I get chances to be out in the open ocean, it's just this feeling of incredible surrender and being able to surrender myself and also trust myself. It's a challenge, right? Like I love finding challenges that are both physically and mentally stimulating, right? Open ocean swimming is a perfect example. Physically stimulating, the mind is like, oh my God, is a shark going to get me? And are big waves going to come in, right? And it's, can I keep in my center in this beautiful environment? And then, you know, especially first of all, I never go without a buddy. That's rule number one. It doesn't matter how good you are at swimming. My belief is you should never go out into the open water without a friend, because anything could happen, even to the strongest of swimmers. And so now you're out in the open ocean with maybe one friend or two friends, or there's a couple of you, you know, three, four of you. And now you're sitting out there and all of a sudden you're watching the sun come up and you're like, oh my God, right? There is no noise here. There's no cell phone ringing. There's no iPhone or Apple Watch beeping. There's no email coming in. I am in nature. I am bonded with people. I am challenging myself physically. My mind has no idea what to do, but I'm going to find my center here and then take that into life, right? It's like, okay, right? And you know this from surfing. When big waves come in and you start to be like, oh, shoot, right? You got to stick to your principles. Slow my breath down, right? Stay calm, stay in my center. And the same is true open ocean swimming.
Mm. And I like that you said that it's scary for you. There's fear.
100%.
So we're talking about, like, in a way, fear-based play. Are you able to work through that fear by attacking it head on? Is it pure play all the time? Like, how do those two things coincide?
Yeah, you know, I think if I can break through fear with play, that's always ideal. It's not always the case. But in life, there is what I've learned as a terror barrier. And this terror barrier shows up when things are challenging. And in my experience, challenges stimulate growth, and growth creates more life. And so if I recognize that even though I'm scared of something, and even though something seems scary, it also kind of like wakes something up within me.
Yeah.
And that's the life. That's the creative life force energy, right? Mm-hmm. I heard something from a biologist recently that comfort is decay and challenge is growth, right? And so we, like human beings, are pursuing this life of comfort, but that's actually the fastest way to die, right? Mm. I personally want to challenge myself, and I want to continue to put myself in challenging situations, right? Another fear of mine is speaking publicly, and I get put in situations where I speak publicly often. And that is something, again, it's like going through that terror barrier. Instead of running away from it, right, I'm going to go head on. Okay. But I'm not going to go without my toolkit, because I have my tools, right? I have what I need to get me through it. The only thing that's going to stop me is me. So am I willing to go down this path? And even if I fail, right? Like, you know, if let's say I'm trying to swim out and the ocean's really strong, and so I decide to go in, that's okay, right? That's part of having a growth mindset. It didn't happen yet. Doesn't mean it's not going to happen.
I've never heard the term terror barrier. Kind of reminds me of a dog, a bear terrier.
Yeah, well, I got it. I did one of my first, or one of, not one of my first, but early on in my personal development journey, I went through one of Bob Proctor's courses, which was awesome, just in understanding how the mind works and how we can really manipulate our minds for our highest good. Mm-hmm. And like I said in the beginning, right, some of the best things in life are free, our mind being one of them. And because it's free, we don't value it the way that we could or should, right? Because we're not paying money for it. But when we learn how our mind works and how it's wired, right? Now we have awareness, okay? And now we can take that awareness to do awesome stuff, right? To go watch the sun come up in the middle of the ocean, you know, and sometimes you get the moon set and the sunrise and you're just between these two polarities. And I mean, you just got to come and do it with me today.
And then in Osari, you throw in the rainbow and the set coming in, and it's just like, it's perfect. Paradise. So we're coming up in less than 2 months for the Balance Man retreat. And we're going to be doing a lot of play adventure in the Balance Man retreat. I'm so stoked. I'm so happy to be working with you and the other guys. It's going to be an amazing experience. And I know we're running up on the end of time here, but in a few minutes, what has men's work meant to you?
You know, just in its simplest form, men's work has allowed me to be seen and heard in ways that I couldn't have imagined before. Men's work has given me the opportunity to be authentically me, to show up and to do the things, right? Like, you know how often I hear, oh, you know, there's not many men that work with kids in the capacity that I'm working with kids. And, you know, in the past, that could have deterred me or thrown me off. But I will say that what I've learned and what I've experienced in men's work is that I get to be myself and I get to be seen and heard. And other men also get to be themselves. All people, right? All people. But we're talking about men here. And it's not really available for men in Western culture, right? Men's work has given me the permission and the power to feel my big feelings. You know, when I was in my early 20s, I remember being with an ex-girlfriend and getting emotional. And, you know, the response was men don't cry. And so that created a pattern, right? Okay, men don't cry. Now I know it's not safe to show this emotion here. And, you know, to be in a circle of other men and to be able to cry or laugh or experience any range of emotion and know that it is okay, right? It is okay. No matter what you're feeling, no matter what you're going through, it is okay. You are invited to be seen. You are invited to be heard. Your voice matters. Your experience matters. You know, we see you, we hear you. And that, man, it's like, it's so simple, right? It's so simple. Doesn't cost anything, and it's so dang powerful.
Love it. So the Balance Man Retreat, October 28th to November 4th in lovely Nosara, Costa Rica. Thebalanceman.life is the website. Jake, do you have any other sites or handles where people can find you?
JakeRussos.com is going to be live the end of this week, which will give a little outline of the work that I'm doing with kids. And yeah, man, you know, for anyone listening, for any of the men listening, not only with the Balanced Men retreat coming up, but also, you know, with the Balanced Man program that we're doing, just, I would encourage any dude who resonates with what we're talking about here today and to just invite you to come and experience something that maybe you haven't experienced before. Let you guys know that you're welcome here. I don't care where you came from, how old you are, right? You could be 18, you could be 78. It doesn't matter. You are welcome.
Beautiful. And JakeRussos.com is JakeRussos.
Sir.
Bam, only because I'm reading it on my screen. But I will put it in the show notes. Sir, thank you so much. Love you, brother.
I love your wisdom
and what you have to share, not just for men, but for everyone. The smile, the ambition, the pure joy of life. And it is truly infectious. So I thank you for that and for being in my life. It's not possible to see you without also smiling. So thank you for that. And I look forward to being back out on the water with you really soon, dude.
Yes, sir. Get home soon, man. Thank you for your time. And see you soon.
All right. Thanks, brother.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Salish Wolf with Jake Roussos. To learn more about Jake, visit jakeroussos.com. That's JakeRoussos.com. If you want to experience his teaching directly, please join the Balanced Man community by attending one of our Costa Rica-based retreats or joining our online program. Go to thebalancedman.life for more information. Please check out anchorpointexpeditions.com for all episodes of this podcast and for information on my men's leadership retreats, men's group, and personal development coaching. This show was produced by me, Todd Howard. Music was written and performed by Jason Kouse of the Darcys. If you enjoyed this podcast, please give it a 5-star rating on whatever podcast app you are using and share it with your friends and family. If there is a guest you would like to recommend for the show, please email discover@anchorpointexpeditions.com. You have been listening to Salish Wolf. I am Todd Howard, signing off.